What's up, y'all? And welcome to the Living in Pursuit podcast. I am your host, Drea, and I share my experiences while pursuing the constant unveiling of my purpose and journey. Chasing after God and what He has for us is our number one goal here at the Living in Pursuit podcast. So join us as we uncover God's instructions with faith, boldness, and determination. Let's go. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Andrea. I am back with another episode of the Living in Pursuit podcast. Y'all, when I tell y'all, like, God has been so good to me. Like, I just spent about a good hour in worship and prayer. And, y'all, if y'all don't have a prayer or a worship life, come on. Like, you need to step it up, okay? Like, I was literally just on Instagram Live, just worshiping, just showing people, you know, this is how I prepare for a podcast episode. But literally, the Holy Spirit just took over, like, period. Like, I was just sitting there. Like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was just literally basking in His presence, literally just, like, feeling His love all around me, feeling His presence. Like, I don't prophesy to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Holy Spirit can have His way anywhere, any form, any time of the day or whatever. If y'all aren't following me on Instagram, I just came off of a 2-week fast, social media fast. So I am back scrolling. I was making some posts here and there through this other app, that allows me not to be present on social media, but it does plan my post and posts my post for me. So yeah, I'm back. So if you guys would like to follow me on Instagram, it is at Drea's Story, DreasStory. Y'all, we starting to get lit over there. Like, look, God is doing some amazing things over there. Like, I done posted a video, a motivational video. Like, so many things are happening on these platforms that I just had to give God His glory this morning before I got on this podcast to speak to you guys. God just continues to show me things. He continues to show me how much He loves me. He continues to give me strategy. He continues to show me things in my business that I once felt like I was incapable of. He continues to show me things that my insecurities once blinded me from. And I'm just here today to just give y'all part two of the love series. I know in our last episode, we kind of detoured and took a left turn. But like I said, you know, when God speaks, He speaks. We interrupt this prophetic program to bring to you our first ever advertisement. Oh my God, guys, look at what God is doing here on the Living in Pursuit podcast. Oh my God, this is my first ever affiliation. I am excited to present to you guys the Gratitude First, how to grow your email list. Are you struggling to grow your email list? Have you tried a bunch of methods that aren't working? Well, I have some great news for you guys. I'm sharing a secret formula for how you can add up to 2,000 people to your email list in less than 30 days. And y'all know, we need an email list. Those out here that are in pursuit of business, you already know you need to grow your email list. Period, okay? Gratitude First is giving my listeners 25 proven methods to rapidly grow your email list for free. Yep, that's right. I'm saving you a ton of time by handling over the exact methods you can use to grow your email list fast. Your email list is a great way to grow your business and make sales, build strong relationships with your customers and clients, keep your business safe since you never know what may happen to social media. Y'all know it's a pandemic out here still. Yeah, come on now. But you can be sure you'll always own your email list. So go ahead and sign up for free. The link is in my show notes below. And start growing your email list today, sis. Back to our regularly scheduled prophetic program. So today we are back with part two of the love series. If you didn't get a chance to listen to part one, go ahead and pause me and go listen to part one so you can catch up with the rest of us and get into this part two. So today we are going to be diving into how God loves. In the previous episode, we talked about what is love, and we talked about just having a relationship with God and how he wants us to have relationship with others. So today we're going to talk about how he loves. And this brings me to a story, not even a story, but this brings me to what happened to me over this weekend. So as you all know, I'm preparing to, you know, step into this leadership role, this business role, something that I always saw myself doing, but I didn't have the blueprint. I didn't allow God to guide me and, you know, lead me in this direction that I'm in right now. But thus doing that, this weekend, God has just been literally pouring into me, giving me all of this, these things and all of these business ideas, and he's showing me how to do it. He's telling me how to do it. And just all of these things happened over the weekend. But Saturday, I went to Walmart and I got what I needed to get, because, you know, your girl hair is nappy. So I had to go get me a box perm, period. Like, I can't be out here looking crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a child of God. So I went to get me a box perm from Walmart. I got the box perm. I get in line. I'm behind this woman, and for some reason, she just staring off into space, like she just looking out of nowhere. And it seemed like she was looking for somebody, but she kept looking at me. And it just kind of bothered me, because I was like, why is this woman looking at me? And so I tried not to pay her no attention, but as she was looking for whoever she was looking for, she told me that I can skip the line and just go ahead and get in front of her, because she was waiting on her daughter. So I get in front of her and I hear the Holy Spirit say the word decline, and I'm sitting up here like, oh no, that gotta be the devil. I rebuke you, enemy. I rebuke you, because I know I got money on this card. I know I have money in my bank account. So sure enough, I put my card in. The first time it said unable to make transaction. And I'm sitting up here like, I know this ain't. I just wanted a box perm, Jesus. Not right now. So I put it in a second time. It didn't go through. The woman says, the card is declined and you must don't have any money on there. So the whole week I've been like battling with this feeling that my money was going to be like taken out of my account. I don't know. I just be having like these weird feelings, and I know that it's the Holy Spirit talking to me. So all week, even before that happened, I felt as though something was going to happen to my money. So when I got in a line and I heard the word decline, it was like, oh my God, no. So I'm walking to my car. I'm literally just embarrassed, for one. And I'm just, you know, like really feeling just frustrated. So I call the bank, I get on the phone with the, customer service rep lady, and she's real nice. She had to be like about 20, in her 20s, like 25, 26 or so. And, you know, we're talking, and I'm trying to tell her that the other day, you know, something happening with this Cash App. Like, I don't know if y'all have been experiencing this, but Cash App has been tripping lately. When I go to, cash out, it'll tell me that your bank isn't accepting payments right now, or this and this and that. I don't know. So it's happened to me a couple of times. Last week, before I had that feeling that something was going to happen to my money, I had went to cash out some money that was sent to me. It gave me that error message. And then I went back a few hours later and cashed out, and it went straight to my bank account. So I'm like, that's weird. So I check my bank account and I see two payments. I see the one payment that I was supposed to receive in my bank account twice. So I'm sitting up here like, why did this go into my account twice? You know, just trying to like make sense of it. But I did not spend the money that I was supposed to spend. So, you know, I'm just conscious of my available balance or whatever like that. I call this lady and we on the phone, we trying to figure out what's happening. She tells me, oh, I don't see where it was deposited twice. It looks like they just took it out on the 15th, and now, you know, this is what you're able to see. So when I tell y'all, I was just frustrated. Like, I didn't even want to argue with the woman. Like, she was already nice. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to be, you know, like, I have to remember who I am in Christ now. And I can't curse people out that don't have anything to do with my situation. So I'm sitting up here, you know, just frustrated. I get off the phone. By the end of the phone call, I'm sitting up here, like, crying. Because I just felt, like, just so much frustration. Like, God, you know what my issues are. You know my situation or whatever like that. You telling me to build this business and I don't have the resources. I don't have what it takes, you know, to build this business. You know, this is what I'm thinking in my mind. And I'm just sitting up here just frustrated and crying. And all of a sudden, I turn Bishop T.D. Jakes, his virtual conference on. Y'all know the Woman Thou Art Loose, it was on all weekend. So I just turned it on. And he was talking about a story in the Bible about Leah and Rachel. But Leah was the one that was the rejected one. Rachel was the beautiful one. So everybody was always after Rachel. Apparently she was so fine that Jacob went up to her and started crying. And, you know, just telling her that she's beautiful and this and this and that. It's in the Bible. I don't know where it's at, but I done heard this story before. But the way he explained and talked about Leah caught my attention. He was speaking about, like, the title of his message was Beauty and the Beast. And he referred Rachel as the beauty and referred to Leah as the beast. Now, he referred to her as a beast because Leah, all her life, was rejected. She wasn't that beautiful, the Bible says, or T.D. Jakes was referring to her as, you know, not that cute. Really saying, like she was unattractive. So her whole life, she had to go through this insecurity of feeling like no one likes me, no one wants to be with me, boys don't find me attractive. Like, she had to live with this her whole life. So she went through her life, you know, rejected, just feeling like nobody wants her, or nobody saw her as fit to be a wife, or no one saw the capabilities within her. And the way Bishop Jakes was, you know, describing and talking about Leah, it resonated with me in that moment. I've always felt the need to have money. I chased after money. I became such a hustler. I didn't grow up poor. I grew up not wealthy, but I never had an issue. I never had to beg for anything. I never, like, I was basically spoiled, okay? My daddy, he preached or he pastored over a membership of 2,000 members. So we didn't need anything. My daddy drove Benzes my whole life. Like, we were just spoiled. We were brought up good, and we were very blessed to have all of those things and be able to, you know, live like that. So when I got in my 20s, when I got out of high school and I decided that I wanted to live my life, it brought this need and this willingness to make sure I had that type of lifestyle. I needed money to survive. Of course, we all need money to survive, but I took it in a way where I started to idolize money. Like, if I didn't have a certain amount of money in my bank account, I felt insecure. Like, I started feeling insecure and I started basing my worth on how much money I had. If I had $1,000 in my bank, girl, I was good. Look, period. Let's go buy this. Let's go buy that. You know what I'm saying? Because I had went a long time without, like, because I wasn't educated at the time and because I was just out here with no plan, no strategy, you know, working job after job, not spending, not saving money, spending money whenever I could, and just making bad decisions when it comes to budgeting my money. So I always found myself living in lack. I was evicted from my apartment before. I was evicted from two apartments. Now that I think about it, Jesus Christ, my first apartment ever. Like, I was doing good in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? But then the bills just started piling up on me. I was like, what, 19, 20 years old, trying to out here live my life the way I wanted to live, because I didn't want to live with my parents. So I was evicted. I had to come back home to my parents. Like, just a whole bunch of series of events that allowed me to live in lack And I carried this mindset with me my whole life until God spoke to me in that moment while Bishop T.D. Jakes was preaching. And he was saying how women feel rejected, like women may feel rejected in many different ways, in many different areas of their life. And it resonated with me because I always felt like, well, why wouldn't God give me a job that allowed me to live the way I wanted to live? Why would my bank account, why would my car decline? Why would, you know, I have to live this life of lack? Why does everyone else in the world get to live how they want to live, but I can't? You know what I'm saying? And I always felt rejected in that area as well. I always felt like God didn't care about my finances. I always felt like this is just how I'm going to live. So over the years, that frustration just grew into hustle. It grew into, well, let me start this business, or let me start this hustle. Let me work this job. Let me work two jobs just so I can live the life that I want to live and the life that I was used to living when I was a child, depending on my parents. So as he was preaching, I found a little bit of myself in Leah. And the ending of the word was basically how Leah stayed at God's feet. Leah stayed praying. She continued to press on. She continued to allow the beast within her to come out. And he was saying how it don't matter how beautiful you are. It don't matter how, you know, attractive you are to people. If you don't have a beast inside of you that makes you get up and go, that hustle, that, oh, I'm living in lack. Well, let me go and do this. Oh, I'm the world is against me. Okay, let me go and do this. Oh, my finances aren't looking the way it, you know, it's supposed to look. Let me go do this. Like that beast, that strength that God gave me already inside. That drive, that tenacity. The world has been against me for so long that it's built up this strength within me. I need to tap into that. I don't need to sit here and cry and be frustrated about money. You know what I'm saying? When God is my provider and he's built me up to know these things and he's built his word in my mind and in my heart and in my soul so much so that let me now tap into that even in this situation. So I wiped my eyes. I got up. I prayed. I worshiped a little bit. I continued to listen to the sermon to the end. I was filled. I cut the sermon off when it was done. I sat in silence. I sat in front of my computer. And God gave me a whole strategy on how to implement this strategy into my business. And when I tell y'all, like, I couldn't do nothing but just rejoice. Like, I was so happy and so, like, God, I'm sitting up here worrying about money. I'm sitting up here worrying about things and worrying about, you know, how I'm going to eat and how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to pay for that. And you didn't provide to me what I wanted, but you gave me what I needed. And even now, I'm getting a little choked up because that lets me know that God sees, he sees you, like he sees your pain. He sees that rejection. He sees that thing that you've been idolizing all your life. In a couple of episodes, I told you guys that God was breaking me off of some dependency, some things that I went to, you know, provide for myself. And even in this moment when he didn't give me money, he gave me a strategy. Like that beast inside of me was woken up, like it was awakened. And I sat there, and as he began to like download to me and give me the strategy and tell me, do this, do it like that, reach out to this person, reach out to that person, this is what you got to do, watch this, you know, sign up for this so you can get knowledge, like everything that happened this weekend. And especially after that moment, God was giving me what I needed. not what I wanted all of this time, all of these years. I wanted money. I wanted to not be broke. I hated being broke. I hated feeling rejected. I hated not being able to, you know, buy myself clothes or not being able to, you know, buy whatever it is that I wanted and be comfortable and still be okay and have all my bills paid. Like, I hated that. I felt rejected from the world, from God. Why me, Lord? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, even that situation, it freed me. It freed me from depending on money. It freed me from depending on things that are temporary. Like, you don't need money to start most businesses. You don't need money to do all of these things. You need God, and you need his love, and you need his direction. He doesn't want to give you things. He wants to give you strategy. He wants to give you strategy. He wants to develop you. He wants to continue to pour into you. He wants to continue to love you. He wants to show you what it is that he wants for you. But you got to choose to wake up that beast inside of you. You got to choose to wake up that strength. You got to choose to wake up that tenacity. Like, no, I'm not going to cry over this. No, I'm not going to cry over this man. I'm not going to cry over this situation. I'm gonna tap into what God already gave me, and I'm gonna go after the things that he's calling me to do. Even if I feel insecure, even if I don't have what I need at this moment, I have to know that God is providing for me, and he's always gonna give me what I need and not what I want. And that brings me to the topic that we're talking about today is how he loves. Like, God literally, like, the fact that he gave me a strategy that will set me up for life instead of giving me money right now. Like, the fact that he even did that, that's love, y'all. That's love. Cause somebody that loves you, they know what you need. They watch your habits. They know your weaknesses. And they don't throw those weaknesses in your face. They don't blame you for anything. They give you what you need in that moment. They comfort you in that moment. God giving me that strategy comfort me in that moment, to the point where I didn't even worry about the money. I wasn't even tripping. I said, you know what? They can have it. I probably ain't need that box perm anyway. You know what I'm saying? But it just shows you how much God loves you. He listens to you. He provides. He's a comforter. He's a rock and a shield against danger and harm, against situations like mine. He's patient. He doesn't get aggravated with you when you take too long to follow an instruction. Do you know how long it's been that God has been trying to develop this particular strategy in me? You know how long it took me to get here? And he was still patient with me. He was still giving me, dropping nuggets along the way, even when I was going to the left looking for other stuff. Even when I was trying to hustle and get money this way, he was trying to lead me in this direction. And he was still dropping nuggets in me. He was still preparing me. He was still providing for me. He was still allowing me to learn new things and be surrounded by people that would teach me things. God loves us. Like, you know how long it took for me to just follow a simple instruction? Like, God is my everything. I can't go a day without communicating with him. It goes back to the point that I made in the part one, how you have to develop a real relationship with God, almost as if you're taken and you're not single out here. You're not just out here waiting on God to send you your husband. Like, you're already married to him. You're already married to God. You already have that type of love, that type of care for God. If I go a day without communicating with him, I feel horrible. If I go a day, just like us, if we in a relationship with a man and he go a whole day without texting us or calling us, how would you feel? That's how I feel when I don't speak to God, or when I don't pray, or when I don't open up my Bible, or when I don't worship, or when I don't spend time with him. I literally feel like that. But it's only because of his grace that I get to get up another day and start over fresh. I get to start over with God fresh every single day. Nobody does that. How many of your friends do that with you? How many of your relationships have you been in that gives you that type of grace? Nobody gives you that type of grace. You get to mess up. You get to go through things. And still the next day, God is right there waiting for you to come to him. Waiting for you to pray. Waiting for you to spend time with him. What? That's love. Think about this. God, why do people feel like, oh, God don't love me, when he gave his only begotten son? God, like, what? God literally put up his son. He gave his son to a fallen world. He told Jesus, look, I'm sending you here to die for these people's sins. I'm sending you here to show people grace and mercy and show them gifts that I put inside of you. I'm putting you here so that you can save a whole generation, save humanity. But I need you to go through some things, and I need you to sacrifice, and I need you to be crucified, and I need you to die, but I'm going to resurrect you in the end. I'm going to give you everything that you lost in the end. I'm going to give you favor in the end. I'm going to protect you all the way. I'm going to give you nuggets along the way. Hello, am I talking to somebody? I'm going to give you nuggets along the way. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to intercede on the behalf when you come to me and pray. And then in the end, when you can't take no more, when the world is against you so bad, then I'll give you what you need. Then I'll give you the strategy. Then I'll give you everything that they tried to take from you. Then I will strengthen you. Then I will make you invincible. So invincible to the point where can't nobody touch you. Nobody's lies, nobody's rumors, nobody's rejection can hurt you anymore. That's love. Period. That's love. Y'all can talk about how much y'all in love with y'all man, how much you in love with your spouse, how much you in love with your parents and your child and this and this and that, but ain't no love like that. Period. I've never experienced a love like that. And if you ask me, God loves some of us too much. God is too good. God is too merciful. He gives too much grace to people sometimes, but he does it. And he still loves us no matter what we do. That's love, man. Another experience that I had experiencing God's love is the fact that he gave me a child. What? A little boy. I prayed for that boy. When I became pregnant, I prayed for Jeremiah. Before I got pregnant, I knew what my son's name was going to be. I knew what he was going to look like. I had dreams about him before I even got pregnant. And I knew that if God blessed me with a child, I was going to experience his love. I don't know how I knew that when I was not in alignment with God, but I knew that if God gave me this child, I was going to experience the love that I had been longing for. And sure enough, when I had my son and that connection that I felt, oh my God, y'all, I can't even explain what it's like to have a son that I prayed for, a son that I actually, you know, connected with. Because some people don't connect with their kids when it comes out of the womb. Some people don't want kids. Some people can't have kids. Some people are okay with not having children. But when I prayed for my son, I knew I was gonna have that love. I knew that God was going to be able to show his love through the relationship of me and my son. That's why they say children are a blessing. And yeah, they get on our nerves. My baby get on my nerves every single day. I'm not lying. My son gets on my nerves every single day. But there is nothing like waking up to him and him giving me kisses and telling me that he loves me. Like, it's nothing like that. And that's only through the grace of God that I get to experience that. Like, you love me that much to trust me with a human being? What? Like, you give me direction on how to teach my son. You give me the strength to get up every day and be his mother, no matter what the situation is looking like, no matter what's in my bank account, no matter who's against me, no matter what's going on in this world, you still give me the strength to get up and be that child's mother. That's love. That is love. And because I've experienced this love and I get to experience this love, it breaks my heart for people that don't experience this, for people that can't have kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, it literally pains me to even think that a woman my age or any woman can't have children. So right now, Father God, I ask that you just fill the womb, Father God. I ask that you fill the womb, Father God. Any woman that is barren, any woman that feels like she can't have children, any woman that physically can't have children, Father God, I speak over their wombs right now. I speak over their fertility issues. I speak over their fallopian tubes. I speak over their barrenness, Father God. And I ask that you replenish them. I ask that you give them this joy, Father God, that I'm able to have and experience. I ask that you give them the desire to have children, Father God. I speak to those dry places, Father God. There are some women that feel like, oh, I can't have kids, so that must mean that I'm worthless. That must mean that I'm rejected. That must mean that life isn't working in my favor. But God is saying, be like Leah. Be like Leah and stay at my feet, even in your rejection. Even in the rejection that you feel in your relationships, your friendships, your job, stay at my feet and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you what you need. My next point is understand that God does not and will not treat you the way other people have treated you. He will not treat you how your husband has treated you. He will not treat you how your friends have treated you. That's one thing about God. If you don't know anything else, he will never bring up your rejection. He will never taunt you for your wrongs. He will never make you feel bad, or he will never condemn you for a mistake that you made. That's coming from somebody that loves you. Anything that goes against that does not love you, does not know how to love you, and is not for you. Anything that goes up against that is a lie of the enemy. Why would God allow me all of this grace? Why would he give me all of this grace to turn around the next day and make me feel bad about feeling rejection? That ain't how he work. That ain't how he move. He will not remind you of your bad experiences. He will give you a better one. Sometimes when we do sin, or when we do feel or when we do things behind God's back, we see it as cheating or hiding something, which in turn makes us compare that experience to a bad one we've had. Think about it like this. If any one of you has ever cheated on somebody, or a spouse, or your boyfriend, or whatever like that, that guilt, that shame that you feel after that, I mean, some of y'all probably ain't feel guilty about it at all. But if you did, that feeling comes up, that guilt comes up, that shame comes up. And we compare that to us not spending time with God and just having that feeling that, dang, the way this person treated me when I messed up, it's how God is going to treat me when I mess up with him. You can't compare your life experiences to the relationship that you have with God. Those people are going to treat you according to their feelings. God is going to treat you according to his love and his grace. So stop comparing experiences. I had to do that. I had to stop that. Just because I felt like, you know, I messed up with this person and they treated me bad and they treated me like this, they rejected me. Oh, if I mess up in the same way or a similar way with God, he's going to treat me the same way as they did. And that's not true. He never treated me the way some people have treated me. He never spoke to me the way some people have spoken to me. That's love. That's pure, genuine love. And the good thing about it is, can't nobody take that feeling away from you. When people don't love you, and when people don't see you as worthy, when people start treating you or mistreating you and start treating you as if you don't matter and that you don't have any worth, you can always count on God. You can always count on his love. You can always count on the fact that he would never treat you like that. He will never make you feel like that. Ain't that something? Ain't that something to hold on to in situations like mine? Isn't that something to hold on to situations like yours? Isn't that something to grasp onto? To keep in your mind every single time that feeling tries to resurface itself? Every time I feel as though I'm unworthy of doing something, I always remind myself of the times that God has allowed me to feel worthy. The times that God has made me feel worthy. Oh, you thought that you couldn't pass this test in your math class, but you did. Good job, daughter. Oh, you felt like you weren't able, like you weren't capable of paying this bill, but I made a way for you anyway, daughter. Thank you for trusting me. Good job. Pat on the back. Like, what? And you know what? God has been dealing with me a lot about relationships and in my own personal relationship. And point number three brings me to how God wants us to love. Point number two was how he loves. And point number three is how he wants us to love. In relationships, friendships, whatever. See, he been dealing with me because I had this belief that I needed somebody to have all of their stuff together when I met them so that I can love them and so that everything will be all good and so I wouldn't go through any problems and so, you know, I would be protected from their insecurities or whatever like that. But God is saying none of us will ever have it all together when God makes the connection. When God connected me to the person I'm supposed to marry, Jesus Christ, the Lord in heaven, he did not have it all together. Lord Jesus, I didn't have it all together either, and there came some trials and some tribulations, and we went through some things, and we went through some hurts and some pains and all kind of foolishness. But God just literally dismantled that whole belief that in order to love somebody they have to have their stuff all together. Like, no, the Bible says, for richer or for poorer, till death do you part, through sickness and in health, through ups and downs. That's the vows that you make with the person that you marry. Like, we have to decide if we will love someone through whatever. Are you going to love somebody through whatever? Or are you just going to wait till they have it all together and then start loving them? You can't love somebody up until a point. Like, you have to love someone even when you don't want to. It's kind of like the scripture in Matthew, love thy neighbor. You have to love someone you don't even know. Not from what they've done for you or how they've treated you or the potential of what they can give you. You have to love people regardless. We often don't want to love someone through their struggles because it ultimately brings us down. We don't want to love somebody that doesn't have it all together. We don't want that energy. We don't want that burden. But how do you truly experience love when you aren't willing to risk something? God be risking his love every single day because he know that we ain't going to give it back in return sometimes. Oh, hello. When we say love is patient, that means, will we truly wait for that person to get it all together? Will we be patient for the love of our lives? Or will we rush into something that is not God sent? Once you experience God's love, you'll be able to size it up. You'll be able to recognize it. You'll be able to know how to love that person that doesn't have it all together. You'll be able to recognize some things, some faults, some flaws. And you'll be able to love whatever it is that person has to offer, because you know that God loves you even when you don't have it all together. If God waited for me to have it all together, I probably would still be waiting on God's love. Like, if that was his restriction, if that was a deal breaker, like if that was a standard or a requirement that God had, you need to be perfect before I can love you, none of us will be loved right now. None of us will know what that feels like. And I'm just so grateful to God. I'm so glad that he does not have those standards, and he does not treat us the way that we have been treated. Like, I'm so glad that God has filled me with his Holy Spirit. Y'all, I was not like this 2-3 years ago. I was not. I didn't know what God's love felt like. I was still trying to figure out life. I was just getting up every single day trying to figure out how I'm going to get money, how I'm going to keep this money, and how I'm going to be a singer. That's all I was worried about. But now I'm able to operate in love. I'm able to ask other people, hey, do you need anything? I don't have much, but right now, you know what I'm saying? But do you need love? Do you need to talk? Do you need prayer? That's like, that's love. God wants us to reflect the love that he gives us onto other people. He wants us to model that. And we have to be able to do that, y'all. We have to. It's important. And as I continue to grow and go through these experiences, I'm now able to teach other women and to share my testimony and minister to women and whoever listens to this podcast, mainly women. But now I'm able to minister to people about what I've went through in hopes, in faith that you don't have to go through these things alone. You don't have to feel like you're alone. You don't have to feel like, oh, I'm just the only one going through this. Like, I'm going through it so that you guys don't have to. And so that you guys can maybe get some insight if you are going through these types of things. So, yeah, y'all, that's all I have for y'all today. It's been an emotional roller coaster. Look, let me just say that. I actually had to leave for a couple of hours and come back and finish this podcast because I felt as though, you know, I needed to stay right here. Like, I needed to just go ahead and get this off of my chest before I start a new week. So I love you guys. Make sure you share this podcast episode. If you were encouraged by this episode, by my testimony, by whatever, make sure you leave a rating. Make sure you leave a review just to let everybody know, or other people know, that look, we being transformed over here, okay? Like, God is literally, as he's transforming me, I know he got to be transforming you guys as well. Like, that's crazy to even think of. Like, this isn't just something that you listen to for entertainment or anything like that. Like, your life is literally changing as mine is as well. So, I love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your love and support. Again, remember, follow me on Instagram, Drea Story, DreasStory. And I will talk to you guys in my next episode. Bye.